I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Oi, the boys on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes tales are quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around. And thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mitts and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
It's the booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jimmy, JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
Let's move on, shall we? As promised, we've got a special guest today, CPL Commissioner, CSB CEO, Mark Noonan, back on the show for the first time since, I think, your first week in the job. Mark, welcome back.
Yeah, I think I've lost a lot of hair. It's gotten grayer since then, and it's good to be back. Thanks for having me.
I was going to say, like, when we spoke to you last time, you were fresh, you know, looking forward to the job, and then a lot of stuff's happened the last year or so. Honestly, what were you expecting, this kind of firestorm on numerous fronts when you took the job?
Yeah, I mean, my first boss kind of put it to me pretty quickly. He said, you know, we get paid to solve problems. And, you know, we have some problems. We're going to continue to have problems. And it's actually not a bad thing. It means people care and that there's things to discuss and have dialogue on. It certainly has been challenging and it's been frustrating in a lot of cases because, you know, I wanted to see the sport of soccer compete against baseball and basketball and football and hockey and everything else. I don't want to see the sport of soccer competing against itself. And that's the thing that's most frustrating. And I'm hoping that we can all join together as we head into the Women's World Cup this summer and then head toward the Gold Cup in 2026, you know, as one sport.
Well, let's start with the CPL, shall we? Obviously enjoying its fifth season, ups and downs the last number of years. And up very much right now is Vancouver, making its debut this season. Yeah. So far, it seems like to be a big success, albeit very, very early. Let's get your thoughts just on Vancouver's addition to the league.
Yeah, it's awesome. Not only is it a new team in an important market, but you know, it's led by Rob Friend. And so here is a decorated Canadian international who's transitioning from being a great player to being an owner in his home country and building a cathedral to the sport with his money. And, you know, I think Rob and Josh Simpson, these guys have got to be celebrated and recognized for giving back to the sport. And, you know, building leagues is really hard. And it takes a lot of money and it takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of effort and you're going to make some mistakes. But, you know, the fact that, you know, one of Canada's own has come back and built a cathedral in Vancouver and is giving back to the community is just such a thing that I don't think is celebrated enough.
Well, Mark, you're certainly right about the sport feeding on itself and we shouldn't be doing that to each other. But that's really something that we've seen historically in this country, that sort of things happens, unfortunately. And battling through that is obviously a challenge. What is the latest on York United? Is there some groups coming in or interest in that organization now?
There's a lot of interest in the league itself, which York is an opportunity, as we all know, that we need to correct, and we're doing that. And the reason why we actually made the deal with York's former owners is that we wanted to make the transaction as smooth and seamless as possible, so a new ownership group can deal directly with me and my leadership team and in our board, rather than it being convoluted with a third party. So it's been business as usual at York. And it's the conversations that we are having around not just York, but around the league are as positive as I've seen since I've been in this seat.
Would the goal be to keep York in Toronto, or would you be looking to move that franchise into another city?
Yeah, the goal is, Toronto is the fourth largest city in North America. We can have more than just York in Toronto, but the goal is to have great ownership playing in the right facility with the right conditions to be successful. And we're in the process of considering all options, whether that continuing it at Lions Stadium, perhaps going to a different venue, perhaps building a new venue. Part of that depends on the new ownership that comes into that the market. But we're open to building a sustainable businesses wherever those are.
Yeah, I mean, there was hope, obviously, with Edmonton, too. So, sorry, Craig. There was hope with Edmonton, too, right? It didn't work out, obviously. Had to move on from Edmonton. So you are confident, though, that there will be football, if not necessarily in that stadium, York will be an entity this time next season?
Yeah, absolutely. We're confident in that, where we sit right now. And some people have heard me say this before, but 21 years ago, when I was at Major League Soccer, I authored the press release folding Major League Soccer. At the time, we had 12 teams, and thanks to a guy named Phil Anschutz, we decided to only fold two teams, Miami and Tampa. And we went down to a 10-team league where you could buy a franchise for $5 million U.S. Phil Anschutz himself owned six of those teams. And we only had two other owners, Bob Kraft and Lamar Hunt. Yesterday, MLS announced a new expansion franchise in San Diego for $500 million. You have to take a couple hits along the way in order to grow a league. And we've had to do that in Edmonton and in York. But I've never been more bullish or confident in our ability to continue expanding this league, learning those lessons that we've learned so far.
Mark, when you look at fan experience, we talk about that, and Hamilton or Halifax is a really good example of that. You've got this beautiful little stadium, it's tight, you've got a fan experience around it, so you build literally a party around an event, and then a soccer game breaks out. When a young league, what you have here, is that important to build that? Because, excuse me, I look at York United and that whole just the university setup there, it's not really a place where you can tailgate or there's bars around or that sort of thing to sort of have that experience. Is that something important? Edmonton was the same. They're out there by Commonwealth Stadium. It's just a really dour kind of area. There's nowhere really to, to gather. But the places with that fan experience seem to do very, very well. Is that important moving forward?
Yeah, I think it is. It's all about providing value for the entertainment dollar. And in a place like Halifax, we're fortunate of the location of where that stadium is, that people can go and walk down to their favorite pub and then go to the game before and after. And that does make a difference. And that's going to be a consideration, both from an expansion standpoint and whether what we might do with York. But when you can have that combined with great football on the field, it absolutely makes a difference. But I think first and foremost is we have to make sure that that our product is right too, and that we continue to work on the actual football product, not just the entertainment value of that, but also the asset value of that, And we've, you know, one of the things that, again, CPL is starting to do, we've placed, I think, five guys on the Canadian men's national team that have come and played in our league in a very short period of time. And as we expand that pipeline through our relationship with the, you know, League One and operation of that franchise and getting closer with the clubs that, that are developing players, you're going to see more and more of that. That's going to help the product on the field, but also help the Canadian national team as well as the asset value, because ultimately we're going to have to sell a number of those good players to more established leagues and reinvest that money back into, you know, continuing to build out the product.
Yeah, you mentioned League One, and that's, sorry, Amy, go ahead.
I was just going to say, yeah, the same link talking about League One, and you do the comparison or talked about how that feeds into the national teams. So the Whitecaps, their elite team, their Rex team, just won the FIFA Youth Cup. And I was I accompanied Quebec's version of that team in France last month, and very good results against mm-hmm. the likes of PSG. So it's clear that our talent stacks up against the talent in Europe and the rest of the world. But where we're lacking is that infrastructure after the fact. So you've been doing good work developing the League Ones, but how do we then apply that to then success and resources available to our youth national teams so that that pipeline that you talk or that you speak of is really robust and we're really feeding them into success and springboarding them into potentially professional careers or just successful national team tenures?
Yeah, I mean, we can control what we can control. You know, I'm proud to say that there's been, I think at the highest level of League One, there's been 2,000 men's players that have come through there. And 1,500 women's players. And if you look at the stats, about 10% of every one of those, so about 200 on the men's side and 150 on the women's side, have gone on to play professionally. And, you know, that League One in 2014 had 9 teams. This year, we're going to have 161 teams. You know, we've rebranded League One Quebec from PLSQ to be League One Quebec. We're, you know, doing a pilot in the Maritimes now, and we're working hard on the Prairies to really make that a fully national development league. We have hosted the first women's interprovincial national championship last year, which is going to continue at this stage. And you know, we're doing what we can. By the same token, you know, trying to give as many opportunities at CPL to promising players, because the only way you get better is, you know, playing against really good players. And, you know, the nice thing about CPL is it's a pipeline, and as we add teams, that pipeline's only going to get bigger and bigger. And as you all know, players develop at different ages too. You know, you have some players that won't develop till they're 22, 23 years old, but if they don't have that opportunity, then they'll never get there. And I think what we are is providing that opportunity.
And obviously, you signed Costa Smaniotis recently as well to help on that development side of things. Right. Great hire, obviously. Has there been any conversation about League One dropping to U23? League at some point? I know Jimmy's mentioned this before.
Yeah.
To help the developments and the pathway.
Yeah, I think all of those things are in kind of our consideration suite right now, and that's one of the reasons why I hired Costa, because he has great experience in terms of what he did to build Sigma with his brother and what he's done at Forge. So he's got a pretty unique viewpoint on how do you connect that pyramid from the grassroots all the way up through the professional level into the national teams. So, you know, that's part of his mandate, is how do we connect that, and how do we take, you know, let's say some of the best clubs within League One, and can you continue to work with them to raise the standards, whether that's facilities, whether that's broadcast, whether that's, you know, how they're training players, whether there's competitions. So it's a work in progress, but between Costa and, you know, guys like Josh and Rob, we've got a lot of football minds thinking and working on it.
Mark, see, with League One as well, a lot of the teams are operated by clubs, which are non-profit organizations.
Yeah.
And when you do raise the standards, a lot of the clubs find it difficult because of resources.
Yeah.
Do you think at some point down the line, you'd be looking to maybe take these franchises more or less away from the non-for-profit organizations and give them to individuals who want to own outright clubs?
That's a great question, Jimmy. I mean, many of these clubs exist through pay for play. And, that's a model that's pretty prevalent in Canada and obviously in the U.S. And that not only is a challenging model, it certainly has the opportunity to exclude those that don't have the resources to enter that system. And so I'm not positive I've got the answer for you as we're talking right now, but, anything that we can do to, reduce barriers to entry, whether it's at League One or affiliating with our clubs and making it as cost effective as possible, we're going to do that. If you have any ideas, I'm all ears.
I'd love to share them with you.
Well, we'll hook up the meeting pretty soon between two of you, okay? How about that?
Right.
Mark, as mentioned earlier, so you arrive in the job last year in this firestorm just erupts, player revolt, with the CSB being front and center. In your opinion, it's been mentioned already, I know, but does the current deal need to be revised? And if so, how far along are you to revising the CSB deal?
CSB has been used as a pawn in a labor negotiation. Let's call it what it is. And I am sick and tired of CSB getting bashed. CSB is the creator of over 500 full-time soccer jobs in this country. CSB is the reason why we can continue working to expand League One. CSB is giving opportunities to the likes of Drew Becky to continue his playing career and then move into the front office, or Jordan Wilson to move into broadcasting, or Jelani Smith to go into, continue his technical career. And as it relates to the agreement, we have made many overtures toward Canada Soccer, including one very specifically on March 7th of this year to the former Secretary General that I wrote under, even though we're under no obligation to do so, here's an opportunity that we think we can help. And I'm still waiting for a response to that. And so the ball is in Canada Soccer. We want to do our part. We think we can play a really important role. But at the end of the day, this is a labor dispute, and we're not at all involved with that. We've offered to help in any way we can, but we are, that's between Canada Soccer and the men's and women's national teams.
Is it about increasing the amount of money that's provided to Canada Soccer by CSB? Because is it realistic to expect them to run their national programs on ballpark $4 million a year?
That's, we have made an offer that would increase the money going to Canada Soccer, even though we're under no obligation to do so. And we're a fraction of the revenues that go into Canada Soccer. So we're being used and accused of doing things that are so opposite of what's happening in the real world. And it's because it's a labor dispute, WestJet and its pilots just fortunately, got a deal done late last night. But even something like that, it's contentious. It's hard. It's emotional. But for us to be positioned as the bad guys, couldn't be further from the truth here. And that needs to stop. Absolutely needs to stop.
That's fair, but I think you also have to look at the recent success with the men qualifying for Qatar, the women being Olympic champions, and then there not being tangible increases in revenues in terms of what CSB is responsible for bringing back to Canada Soccer. So why is there not the increase that you expect to see, and who's responsible for that increase not being there if it doesn't exist?
Amy, you don't know what the particulars of the deal are. There are bonuses that are built in there. There's increases go every single year of that deal. And we proactively went to Canada Soccer with an offer to open up and add even more money, which I believe would add a considerable amount. So there are discussions that are going on right now with the leadership that we hope are going to be productive. But by the same token, players want to be paid, right? And I respect that. I'm a washed up player. Many of you guys are. I got a brother who's still an active coach, and coaches always want bigger budgets. I don't know a coach who doesn't want more resources. I don't want a player or a player agent who doesn't want more money in their players' pockets. But if all the money's going into one pocket, you can't complain that there's less money in the other pocket. And so there's a finite amount of resources. No matter what we do at CSB, there's a finite amount of resources that Canada Soccer needs to decide how do we best serve our mission. And part of our mission is paying our national team players to honorably represent the country and giving them the tools that they need to be successful. Part of our mission is working with the provincial soccer organizations to grow the game. Part of our mission is to grow the game at all levels. And how do I balance that? And that's really something for Canada Soccer to do. You know, we provide one piece of funding, a small piece of funding in the grand scheme of things, to Canada Soccer. They decide what to do with the macro piece of funding. And candidly, if the players are being paid to represent their country, and then you know things like business class airfares and private chefs and all the things that are necessary to have great programs, there's only a finite amount of money there. And so Canada Soccer has to make trade-offs in order to make that happen.
I think you said that March 7th was when the proposal was put to Canada Soccer. He's still waiting to find out, get a response. Obviously, there's been a big leadership upheaval, you know, between March 7th and today, or close to it. Would you consider that the relationship between CSB and Canada Soccer as being acrimonious at all at this point? It seems odd they wouldn't get back to you by this point.
No, I mean, obviously, there's been a lot of changes over there, and it's that's well documented. And now you've got a Charmaine who's been elected permanently for the remainder of the term, and you've got a new acting secretary general. And so now that has been decided and solidified, then we're hoping to get some feedback on how we can be helpful. But we're not the bad guys here. We are doing our part, but recognize that we are only one piece of the puzzle and one part of the equation. And if you look at what we are investing to build the game, there's not a single one of our investors who's ever taken a dollar out of this. In fact, as well documented, they're over $100 million in the hole. And so, for us to be positioned as the bad guys is really unfair. It needs to stop.
I think that you're in a certain points there. You're absolutely bang on, Mark, especially when you look at our budget nationally. Unfortunately, we're next to the United States, and we compare ourselves to them far too often. Yeah. There are tens of millions more dollars in their budget than we are, and there's only so much to go around. What are we at, about 30 million? So if the players are going to take a massive chunk of that and they want champagne money, you're going to get beer quality, facilities getting ready for tournaments. The money's just not going to be there. I don't believe there's a pot of gold in Canada sitting there somewhere either that is going to increase massively. So there is a negotiation go around by everybody, including the players, because just isn't enough. We want to work on our youth programs. We want, which is so important for attracting players, potential players that could play for Canada. We don't have that money. We don't have enough money to prepare the women properly for the World Cup because there's just not that money around. And I think the economics of it need to be understood by a lot of people, including the players. And there might have been some issues along the line, but the bottom line is that this isn't going to be a massive increase in budget in Canada over the next few years. I just don't see it.
No.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. I was shocked when I came into this market. I used to run integrated marketing for Gatorade in the U.S. And I saw the size of our Gatorade deal here, and I'm like, where's the rest of it? And particularly with the benefits that we were giving them. And I was like, wait a second, that can't be. And like, no, it's actually a pretty good deal relative to the size of the market. So I had to adjust my own expectations. It's not an easy solution for anyone here. And I think all parties have to do their part and make sacrifices. And that's what we've tried to do as it relates to, voluntarily going back to Canada Soccer. Here's how we would like to contribute and help. And we're just waiting for a response on that.
So to that end, you talked about when the women were in the She Believes Cup and then forced back to work. And you talked about wanting to be an ally, perhaps working with Canada Soccer to provide a stadium for a send-off game. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, if you know that's halted mm-hmm. because Canada Soccer hasn't gotten back to you, how do you think you position the CSB and yourself in regaining trust from the fans, but also from the national team players? What are the steps that you take in order to advance in that regard?
Can you restate that question? I'm not sure I understood it.
Well, I talked about you publicly stating wanting to be an ally with the women's national mm-hmm. team and tangible ways to do that.
Yeah.
Then I said mm-hmm. Canada Soccer maybe was preventing you from actively doing so. Mm-hmm. But then I pivoted to, you can answer that if you want, but I pivoted to how do you regain trust amongst the players, but also from the general public?
I don't know how we lost trust from the general public, and we've invested well over $100 million with zero return into the sport. We went to Canada Soccer, and we fundamentally believe that the women's team should have a send-off game on home soil. And we offered free stadiums and say, okay, we'll give you this stadium for a send-off game. And it didn't, unfortunately, they didn't, couldn't schedule it for whatever reason. But we're trying to be an ally. We're trying to be helpful here. We believe that that Canada Soccer is success is our success. But we're not the bad guys here. We're not the only people who are part of the solution. We all have to come together on it. And we can make offers, and if they don't get accepted, then so be it.
But don't you think it's fair to say that the public perception, whether it's true or false, is that you guys are the bad guys?
Of course, because we're being used in a labor dispute, and that's the nature of these things.
But we're obviously out of time here. It's fair to say though that there aren't like multi-million dollar sponsorship deals lining up on your desk, piling up your desk each day. How far away would you say Canadian soccer is to getting to the point where those deals are being signed?
There's a lot of things that need to happen. There needs to be harmony. Right now we're taking these little guns and pointing them at each other, as opposed to saying this sport of soccer can be the biggest sport in Canada within 10 years, I believe, but we have to get aligned and start realizing it's soccer against everything else, not soccer against soccer. And I can't tell you the damage that this dispute is having in the marketplace. I can just give you countless examples of CIBC not wanting to be on the jersey that they've paid for because of the dispute in some cases. Very tangible examples of the labor threatening partners who are trying to promote the game. There are players themselves who have taken money from CSB that are bashing CSB, yet they're happy to take money from CSB that we broker and put in their pockets. Yet they're very happy to go in front of commissions and bash the big bad CSB because it serves their purposes. And that's got to stop. That has to stop.
Well, Mark, listen.
One thing we know for sure in this country, there's no helping our sport.
Sorry, Craig, can you say that again? You broke up.
Okay, saying that there's nobody else in this country from any other sport, body, or anything else is going to help our soccer. We are on our own in this development. We have two major communication companies with Bell and Rogers that will finance it. This is not what we're going to get help with. So if we're pointing guns at each other, that is true. Nothing's going to get achieved because we've seen this happen for decades, to be honest.
Yeah, it's frustrating for sure.
And you guys have probably seen our CRTC filing, where we are going directly at that monopoly and spending a lot of time and a lot of money filing that CRTC filing, and we're hoping it's going to make a difference. But we're not just sitting back and letting it happen. And people, nobody wants to say, "Hey, CSB, great job! You're taking on the big bad distributors of content here who aren't doing the right thing by soccer." But it's easy to point the finger at us as being the bad people. But we're spending millions of dollars on things like that.
Yeah, how did that surprise you, shock you, frustrate you when you came here and saw what Rogers and Bell were doing to block One Soccer from getting to terrestrial TV?
That's a much longer discussion, but we need wider distribution for soccer content in this country. I can unequivocally say that, and we're working really hard to do that. And One Soccer is doing a great job, so we just need it to get more widely distributed.
Can I get one last one in?
Sure, one last one, Amy. Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Save my hardest one for the last. Yeah,
I've got it. It's got to be quick because I have a hard stop now.
Okay, I'll do my best. So, as an American living in Toronto, do you enjoy it?
Love it. Yeah. Love it. Great city. Great people. I wish I had more time to get to know it. I'm spending a little bit too much time in the office, trying to build this wonderful game in this country.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for this. Appreciate the time. I know there's some tough questions there, but questions that need to be asked. And we'll have you back on, hopefully, in the near future.
Yeah. I'd love it, and I really appreciate what you all do for the game. We may not always agree, but we have to come together and build this sport, because if we don't, nobody else will.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Mark. Really appreciate it.
Take care.
That is Mark Noonan, CEO of CSB and Commissioner of CPL. Interesting chat there, guys. Sadly, I'm not surprised or shocked that Canada Soccer have not responded to a proposal put by CSB. And then without knowing those numbers, who knows what that even looks like. But what were your thoughts on that specifically? I think that was probably the big thing out of that interview, was that a proposal is being put to Canada Soccer who are yet to respond. And that was, 2 months ago?
Yeah, I don't understand, really. You know, and I asked Mark about, who's responsible for, haven't been able to capitalize on the success of our national teams in terms of revenue, but also just tangible evidence of it, whether, you're walking around or like a feel or a vibe. So, I mean, are they jointly responsible? Is it? But, if Canada Soccer is, CSB is coming at them with something that's technically positive and they're not getting back, like, that's problematic. I know there's been a shakeup, there's been a changing of the guard, new people in, but how can you not be proactive? How can you not work on something? And, maybe we don't know all of the details, but the Women's World Cup is coming up here. the CBA is still unsigned.
Yep.
There's so much unknown. And those women, again, I've said it before, they're going to be expected to get results, even though they've been undercut and undermined and underfunded in the lead up to this World Cup. And that, to me, you can point the finger squarely at Canada Soccer.
I thought it was interesting as well, where he said, "We tried to help with a send-off game, and here's a stadium. Play the game in there." I mean, at the end of the day, it's not up to the CSB to organize that game. That's up to Canada Soccer. But I'm sure there's an awful lot that the CSB has done and put forth that we haven't heard about. So it was good to get a little bit of an insight. And I understand what you're saying. And he's mentioned it there too. We just don't have the money in this country. There isn't sports dollars that we think there is. It's not America, where there's 350 million people that live there and there's money to go around. here, it's slim pickings, trying to get anything.
Oh, it's true. I mean, it's sad. I speak to you know, fans of the game over here, and they just assume there's these contracts and deals sitting there worth tens of millions of dollars for Canadians. It's like, no, that's just not the reality. I wish it was. Of course we do. Yeah. And maybe one day it will be, right? But like, Gatorade's not dropping $50 million on Canada Soccer and saying, hey, we'll be your health, fitness, drink. No, it ain't happening.
We don't have the population. The value for those big companies is not here. It's down in the States. Yep. Not here. You're not getting that money, whether you like it or not.
But it's better than what we're getting currently. So, you know, are we at a tipping point where it eventually is going to be more? I wish you would have spoken a little bit more openly and given concrete examples of how they could be doing a better job in terms of garnering that sponsorship.
Yeah. Well, you look at Project 8 as well, the money that you guys are trying to generate. As much as you want to get millions and millions, it's not happening at the moment because the sponsorship dollars are just not there. The value for these big companies is not here.
But I think there's a marked interest for wanting to sponsor a women's professional league, you know, after all the Hockey Canada bullshit and you know, being let down in kind of your traditional sports. There yeah. really is an appetite to fund women's
there's,
sports.
There's an appetite, for sure there is. But at the end of the day, when these individuals are putting down money, their own money, they want to see value. And what's the return? It's nice to have a gesture and say, oh, here's a couple $1 million, you know, put that towards your project. But at the end of the day, when they're talking $10 million, $20 million, there's got to be an ROI. Otherwise, they're not doing it.
Yeah, but it's not going to be an ROI tomorrow or next year or the year after. You know, right, again, I'm repeating myself, but yeah. big leagues like the NBA, which are massive moneymakers now,
yeah,
suffered losses early on. There has to be investment, whether it's in a women's league or in a CPL initially, so that you eventually do see a return on your investment. You have to have that initial, you know, money being put down and not expecting anything in return and expect losses. But you have to put that investment in initially.
Right. But that comes from an individual's pocket, right? Now, if you want to return and say, okay, you know, we're hoping that in 10, 15, 20 years, that's got to be a long-term project where they're going to say, I'm willing to lose $100 million and hopefully things take off here in Canada. Mm-hmm. And for even the league now, the owners losing $100 million collectively. I mean, there's only so much money to go around.
I think that as a part of it would be, I think with the women's push too, Jimmy, though, they've got on their side is the fact there's a goodwill here. It needs to be done. It hasn't been done. We as corporate, you know, sponsors of other sports and other things have not been there for the women, and now it's about time that we do. So there's a certain amount of yeah. goodwill. We're certainly going to need that goodwill to be able to make it work in the early years. So we just know that because we've seen that with the men's CPL. So, but I do think that there's potential there, and looking at what Amy knows this inside and out, and what we've seen with Diana Matheson, she's doing some incredible work out there looking for that yeah. goodwill, and I think she's had some success doing it.
Yeah, she's got some good partners. And don't get me wrong, I want to see somebody come in there and go, there's $50 million for soccer in this country. Let's grow it. But
yeah,
it's a tough ask, especially in today's market.
Fun times, eh? Remember when Canada actually qualified for the World Cup and how great we felt? And wow, this is it. This is a tipping point, everyone. Men's, women's, we're going to benefit. It's going to be great. Wow, finally we have arrived. Here we are. And never be more distant and separated, I don't think, ever.
Right in a shitter.
Right in the shitter. Yeah. We're all trying to keep our heads afloat of those turds. Yeah. There's a way out of that bowl, though, Amy. There's a way out of that bowl, but it may take a few years.
Yep. Actually, I have a funny story with Campbell, one of the twins. We were going into the grocery store after soccer practice the other day. And my husband makes smoothies every morning for the kids. So he's like, get bananas, but also get some shitty bananas. But I didn't think the kids heard, like, shitty bananas, like, you know, the spotty ones that maybe are half off, right? That we freeze and put in the smoothies. And so we're in the grocery store and we'd split up and I was over in the veggies and Evie and Campbell were getting the bananas. And then I just hear, because there's hardly anybody else in a grocery store, Campbell going, Evie, don't forget the shitty bananas. And I was like, oh, fuck. I guess he heard.
Yeah.
So that's where we are right now.
Filthy mouths, Amy. Jeez, I mean.
Yep. Canada soccer. That's shitty good. Bananas.
Ripe bananas are better for you. The riper they are, the more healthy they are for you.
Holy shit. All right. Well, listen, that was a great show. I think we covered a lot today. A lot. But our thanks to Martin Noonan, especially for joining us. We know we'll reach out to Canada Soccer as well. I'd love to get Charmaine on the show. I'm not sure she'll come on, but we will certainly make the request. Why shouldn't we? All right, everyone. That's our Footy Prime. We're back on Monday morning, recapping the weekend, the penultimate weekend of the Premier League season.
Twice,
and I pronounced it beautifully both times, unlike apoplectic. All right, have a good one, everyone. Laters.
And keep buying newspapers.
Join the conversation on Twitter. Help us fill Wonger's mail sack at footy_prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy.
It's time to get this party started.
Footy, footy.
It's time to get this party started.
You know that we are the number one show.
So grab your fucking mitts and now it's time to go.
Cause it's the footy, footy.
It's time to get this party started.
It's the footy, footy.
It's time to get this party started
with Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC.
All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.